This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Lonnie Johnson, and I'm here every weekend with you on Saturday and Sunday on KTBB 97.5 and KRWR 92.1, the Team. As always, if you have any thoughts on the show, you can email us at KTBB/InFocus. Today, my guests are John McDougald and Melissa Shanhouse, both with Junior Achievement. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm excited for both of you. Let's just start. What brings you in today? And let's talk about that first, and then let's go a little bit into about Junior Achievement, what it means to the area, what it means to the children.
Okay, great. So tell you a little bit about the reason why we're here is we wanted to promote primarily two upcoming events. We have our Hall of Fame event coming up real soon, and we also have a Stock Market Challenge event that we wanted to tell you a little bit about. So the Hall of Fame is coming up on April the 18th, so right around the corner. We're real excited about that. It's going to be at Willowbrook Country Club. We're honoring John Soul's Foods Company. Great that we can honor them. They have a great story about entrepreneurship, which is one of the tenets of what we teach in Junior Achievement. And then, of course, our Stock Market Challenge comes up in October. So we have on October 31st, on Halloween, we're having a big Stock Market Challenge event where we simulate the stock exchange floor. So it's just like being in New York City.
Okay.
And just have a fabulous event. This year, we're going to have that event, like I said, on Halloween. So October 31st, we're going to be at the new convention center. We had to go to a bigger place because TJC was not big enough for us. We had 300 people, young people, that came to the event last year, and we had to turn away about 100 because of the fire code at TJC. So good problem to have. We're very grateful that we're able to have this at the convention center, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that throughout the show.
Fantastic. So I told you I was a curious guy. So how do you go about creating a replica of the stock market floor, meaning you're not going to get 3,500 crazed individuals with paper yelling at, you know, things at each other? How Absolutely. Do you recreate that?
So basically we have a simulation, and it's all set up on computer where it has about 25 different stocks that these teams of four can buy and sell these fictitious stocks. Each team has $1 million that they get to buy and sell these shares of stock. They go for 60 days, and each day is 1 minute long, so it goes very quickly.
Oh, got you. Okay.
They have all the screens up on the wall, and so you can see one screen that will show you all the stocks. Another screen will show you all the teams that are playing and how they rank in their effort to have the highest portfolio. And Melissa is one of our MCs for that event, so she may have some things she wants to share about that as well.
The Stock Market Challenge is one of my favorite events for any of the nonprofit galas, events that we've done here in East Texas. I was talking with John about this. I've been to a lot of high school soccer games, a lot of football games, but the Stock Market Challenge is way up there with like enthusiasm and competition, and it's such a great event that I get to co-MC with Bill Coates, who's just a fantastic sportscaster and just one of the best events. And there's a lot of excitement. They really come and show up to perform, and it's the loudest thing I've ever been at.
I can see that now that I understand exactly the example you were giving before we came on the air, that would be a very sport atmosphere kind of thing, as is the floor. You know, it's complete chaos.
Being in the investment industry and wealth management, you know, I'm very familiar with Wall Street and how stocks are traded in real life. But these young adults definitely come in, and they know what they're doing, and they're introduced to concepts like IPOs, dividends, and I think it gives them excitement, but also it's an introduction into the investment world. I would hope that some of those students then get an excitement to maybe come into our industry, but also more important, I think that the financial literacy for our young adults as they go into their careers, are they learning to save? Are they learning to invest appropriately? And I think that this is, again, an exciting intro into something like that.
Really is. My son will be a junior. He's an economics major.
Oh.
And didn't come from me. But he had interest early on in the market. And that's exactly before my father's a big investor. And so he gave my son a fictitious $5,000 and then followed him.
Okay.
For a certain amount of time, which is exactly what you're doing. It's just condensing the time.
That's correct.
It's very similar, but it's every 30 or 60 seconds is a day in the market. So we're simulating 60 days.
It's an hour. So one day a minute.
It goes very fast. And we have floor traders. So we have volunteers from TJC as well as other financial institutions.
Right. And, UT Tyler has a group of students that will come and be a part of that as floor traders. So they're going around with tablets in their hands. And then those that are selling and buying the stocks, then they're trying to get the attention of those floor traders. So they have to make noise, have to shout, they have to scream, get up on their chair and stand if they have to. But say that they want those floor traders to come over to them so they can make a trade. And by design, there's only a certain number of floor traders because we want them to have to work at it. And then once they get that floor trader, then they can make their trade.
What is the date again? October 31st? Is that what it is?
October 31st for the youth event.
Okay.
So we knew that adults would not be able to come in the evening, which is obviously on Halloween. So what we did is we decided that a couple days early on Tuesday, on October 29th, is when we'll have the adult session. So that'll be in the evening, and that one will be at TJC, so our adults can play too.
It's as exciting, I would say. I mean, you've got to come and check out the high schoolers, but we've really put a lot of effort into making our adult event as entertaining and fun. And we've definitely got some competitive players in our adult session. So,
what triggered the reason to have adults involved versus just kids with junior achievement?
Well, this began actually with a stock market challenge event that I went to down in Lufkin. They had it before we did. And I went down and I saw what they were doing, and I saw their youth event and I saw their adult event. And it was a great time for both. But the event for the youth is free. The event for the adults is by sponsorship. So they pay to be a sponsor, or they pay $500 for a team, and that helps us pay for the morning event for the youth. And so that's one of the reasons why we have the adults participate, is so that they can help fund the event so that the young people can be involved.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, that's very smart. For the listeners now, if you would, John, just kind of explain Junior Achievement's mission, what you do, how long you've been in the area, and some of the events, you know, that you've had in the past, or anything about Junior Achievement to help someone maybe that wants to get involved.
Okay, absolutely. So our mission of Junior Achievement is to inspire and prepare young people to succeed in a global economy. There are three basic things that we teach in Junior Achievement. We teach financial literacy, workforce readiness, and entrepreneurship. So what we do is we go into the classroom from kindergarten through 12th grade, and we teach those three basic tenets of Junior Achievement in the classroom. And we teach it through volunteers, whether they be adults or they be high school heroes. So our adults can go in, they can talk a little bit about their career and their background as they're teaching the program. The High School Heroes program is for high school students to go in, and we let them teach kindergarten through fourth grade. We don't let them teach past that because the curriculum's a little bit more complicated after that grade. But this gives the high school students an opportunity to go in and teach young people. And sometimes our high school students decide they want to be a teacher. They want to be an educator because they've gone in and they taught and they saw the value of teaching. And you can imagine these little guys, whether they're in kindergarten or up through fourth grade, and they see a high school student come in to teach them, they're very excited to have a high school student come into the classroom because it's not someone like mom or dad or their teacher, an adult that's much older than they are. And so they really hang on to every word that those high school students tell them.
And these are tools that are very important to a successful life.
Absolutely.
Everyone you mentioned. And I think that, so it's from 4th to 12th grade? Is that what I remember?
Kindergarten,
K through 12th.
12th grade is our program that we teach. Every grade is age appropriate.
What's the kindergarten program?
So the kindergarten, they are even learning those basic elements of what we teach in junior achievement, all three of them, the workforce readiness, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, all of that, they're learning even in kindergarten, believe it or not. It's amazing. And I remember the first class that I ever taught when I started working with junior achievement 10 years ago was a first grade class, and I was teaching the students, and it happened to be raining that day, and I thought, well, this is an appropriate question. So I said, what does it mean to save for a rainy day? And a little boy raised his hand. And I said, okay, well, you know, what does it mean? And he said, well, it means you have to have an umbrella. And I thought, what an interesting comment from a young man. And it really had an impact with me. I still remember that from 10 years ago, just because I thought, you know, really, that's what we're doing when we're teaching about financial literacy. We're teaching people to prepare for a rainy day, to be ready and to have that emergency fund. And so that really hit home that point of what we're doing in junior achievement with one of our tenants is teaching that financial literacy.
Because I think, you know, when I grew up, it was save, but not how to save.
Right.
It was just save. In the world economy, the multiples are so insane that you would want to absolutely be involved in the market. I think we have a piece like if you put your money in the market and just leave it there and never mess with it.
Right.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely insane how quickly it multiplies.
Absolutely.
So give me a success story of like someone you may have dealt with. You don't have to give me the name or just a young man or woman that you've dealt with that's made a huge difference in their life.
Well, I was going to say an example I can bring up is how I learned about junior achievement. I had a client that knew I wanted to get involved in the community, and he said, I need to let you know about junior achievement. And I said, okay, tell me more. And he was a student at one point, and before that, he never considered himself, or he never thought he would have the opportunity to be a business owner. And so when junior achievement came in, he realized, like, I too can be a business owner. And he owns a trophy shop in Dallas. But it always stuck with me that he felt without that junior achievement influence or mm-hmm. the mentors that volunteered with him, did he think that he would do anything other than a traditional employee type role at a company of sorts. And so he really encouraged me to do that. And so when I came here to Tyler and I taught a course at or the curriculum at Andy Woods, it was just so much fun to see these elementary kids learn about needs and wants. And to this day, I see them and they come up to me and say, you know, hi, Mrs. Shanhouse. And I remember learning about money and the movement through the community. And I think that I really believe that the volunteerism and the impact on these students' lives is long lasting.
So you may teach them how to create a business plan to go to a bank and
Correct.
Say, hey, this is my idea.
Right.
And give them, give them some idea of what they could expect from that loan officer.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, I've been in schools where I walk into the school and I'm carrying junior achievement kits, and I've had principals come up to me, and one in particular, he stopped me in the hall, and I had never met him before, and he said, it looks like you're with junior achievement. And I said, yes, I am. He says, well, I have to tell you a story. I said, okay, well, tell me. He says, well, when I was quite young, just got married, and I was working a job, I was doing construction work, and my wife one day said, you need to go teach junior achievement. And he had no idea what junior achievement was. And he said, so I went and taught and decided that I loved it so much that I was going to become a principal, which he is today. And he said, that has been something that really made a huge impact in my life. And he says, I owe my success to Junior Achievement. So it's amazing some of those stories that you'll hear from people that have been involved in the program, whether they actually were ones that taught it or ones that were participants and had that taught to them.
If I wanted to be involved in Junior Achievement, is there a URL I would go to read about it and possibly get on?
So what you do is you go to our website or you'd call me. So john@jatyler.org is my email address. So you could email me. You could call me at 903-747-7643. And would be happy to visit with anybody about that. It's really not very difficult to teach. The volunteer has to have the ability to follow instructions. The way the kit is laid out is just like a teacher's lesson plan, so it's very easy to follow. So as long as you can read through that and follow that, you're good. When you go into the school, you have to pass a background check. So a volunteer will go in with their driver's license, and at the office, they'll swipe your driver's license, and that will do an automatic background check of the person that's teaching. So that's something that the school does.
It's good to know.
Absolutely. And have a desire to make an impact in the lives of young people. That's what it takes to be able to make an impact and be able to teach the Junior Achievement Program.
Are there codes of conduct for the students?
There are. So we actually have a form that we have our volunteers fill out saying that they're going to abide by these codes of conduct to make sure that, they're appropriate in the classroom. We also have a social media page that they sign as well, saying that basic things that you would think of, like not being friends with students on social media and that type of thing, just to protect everybody.
I found the students to be very participatory, and they're just carrying the same code of conduct as any other classroom because we're literally in the classrooms. The teachers are there, and it's just a traditional day in the life of a classroom. It's just that it's our curriculum, and we're teaching them how to move throughout a community or, again, get into entrepreneurship and business leadership.
You know, I think it's great because I think parents are pressed now more than they ever have been. They're pressed for time. They've got outside influences on their children. They've got to corral those and do everything. And sometimes there's just not enough day in the time.
Right.
So I think any nonprofit that engages children and gives them tools to succeed in life. And, let's be honest, this isn't like basic skill sets. This is advanced skill sets. This is a skill set that you could acquire that would take you from a life to a good life.
Right.
And that's the difference I see in it. Again, I want to remind everybody that there's a stock market challenge, and it's October 29th at TJC. And that's for the adults.
Right.
And it's going to be on October 31st at the new convention center for the children. I noticed it was formed in 1919?
So 1919 Junior Achievement was formed, and it came to Tyler in 1988. So
okay.
A group of business leaders in Tyler decided they wanted Junior Achievement to come to Tyler, so they formed it here, and we've been going strong ever since. I've been with the organization for 10 years. When I started, we had 3,400 young people that we were serving. And last year we served 6,400. So we've really been growing. There's been a huge need for this. Our schools see that. And we are open for any school to contact us, and we'll provide the program to the schools for free. They just have to let us know that they want to have the program, and we'll provide the curriculum. We'll provide volunteers to come in and teach the program for the schools and their students.
And that everyone's got to be a fit. Like, I know my owner, Paul Glaser, has been actively involved in Junior Achievement for years, and I can see him being fantastic as an executive or talking to grown-ups. I don't know if I see him talking to a bunch of fifth graders, But
it takes everybody. We have
exactly.
All different types of volunteers. Of course, we have a very strong board. Melissa is our board chair, so it's great to have her here with us today as leading our board. We have 24 active board members, so not everybody is the type to be a teacher. They can give financially, they can give their time and talents in other ways.
Melissa, what inspired you to be a part of Junior Achievement?
Well, again, when I met with some individuals that had talked about how JA had impacted their lives and their professions, and then the first thing I did was teach a course in the or JA in a day at Andy Woods, and it just warmed my heart to see like how excited these students were. And then John kind of pulled me in, and I was really impressed by the board. We had such a fantastic representation of business leaders in the community that I wanted to surround myself with that leadership. And I've been with JA for about 4 years maybe now, and I've really enjoyed being chair. It's brought a lot of happiness and fulfillment to me, because I know that while I do this financial literacy with adults, to do it with children, I see the impact, and I know that not only are they going to be better prepared going forward, but they're also bringing that back home. And I think that that's important too, because finances can be very intimidating, and we like to break that down. One of the things I wanted to share with you that I sticks with me is that with our program, because it has been around for a long time, they've been able to go back and do some studies, and 93% of the people that were in the JA program, they have high school diplomas. 90% are more confident in managing finances. And a really good thing is that 88% are more satisfied in their career. And again, going back to the reference I had, I think that it's opened the doors and in their minds to entrepreneurship or other, business leadership. And I just think it's something I'm very proud to be a part of.
I think it's fantastic, because I think I just don't think that we have enough time in the day to teach these kids everything with all the ways we compete with social media, with everything else that they have in their lives. Right. I really see how important this is. John, you've been involved for 10 years, you said, correct?
Correct, with Junior Achievement.
Comparison, contrast the children from 10 years ago to now?
I really haven't seen too much of a change. In teaching the program, the students are always very excited when we go in and we teach the program to them. They grab on to these concepts. It's like they're hungry for it. And when we go in and we teach financial literacy, workforce readiness, and entrepreneurship, they just grab a hold of that, and they can't seem to get enough of it. And what really surprised me the most, and I've taught every grade from kindergarten through 12th grade, what surprised me the most actually is the high school students, because I just didn't think that they were going to grab onto this as well as they have. But some of the questions that they asked me showed me that they were really hungry for this, and they needed this information. They knew they were going to be out on their own within a short amount of time, and they needed to know these principles so that they could have a successful life. So they listened to every word I said and were very excited about it.
Well, I would think that, I know for a fact that at least high school kids, that they want to be successful. They see all these things on social media that they want, and they realize they're going to have to do something different to get it. But I also see the value of children versus adults is you don't have bad habits to correct. You just instill good habits, correct?
Right.
That's a great point. And we would obviously encourage these students to follow their passions, whether it be sports or arts or, other industries. But I can tell you, I know when I graduated college and I had my first job, I thought I was ready. And back then you'd get like an HR packet or 401k information. And how do you know if that's what you want to do? And how are you going to move forward in making those smart decisions? And the sooner we get these good habits for young adults, then they're going to be more long lasting. And I think it's really impacts not only our local community, but just on a much grander scale of just teaching the best ways of, supporting your career, your family, and then your own extended community.
Well, if I was involved, it would definitely be a do-as-I-say situation. I was blessed enough to have a dad that I think he saved 95 cents out of the first dollar he made. He
right.
was an attorney, and any bashed into my head my entire high school life. It's not how much you make. It's what you do with what you get. And that is absolutely true, because I see more millionaires that spun tires at Kelly Tire than I do that were entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs are risk takers. And often with risk, you're going to fail. And the one thing I see that you probably instill in the junior achievement is failure is part of success. You almost have to fail to be successful. And it's been my experience that most people that fail at a high level come back and succeed twice as well after.
Right. Absolutely.
No doubt.
Well, you know, a few things that I like to share when I go in and teach with the young people that relate to the three basic tenets of what we teach is I tell them when I was 7 years old, my dad took me to the Prairie State Bank in Augusta, Kansas, and had me open up my first savings account. And so that taught me about financial literacy and how important it was to save and invest from a very early age, so that when I did have issues later in life, emergencies that came up, I had the money to take care of those situations. So I like to share that with them. And I think a lot of the young people, when they hear that, they start thinking, okay, yeah, I need to open up a savings account if I don't have one, and start saving. The other is when I was 13, my parents opened up their ceramic shop. It was a hobby for them, and they just enjoyed doing it, but it was a small family business. So I learned a little bit about entrepreneurship and what that takes, and especially being 13, every weekend, guess where I was? I was at the ceramic shop pouring molds and when I wanted to play, but that taught me what it was like when your family owns a small business and you have to be a part of that and help. And then, I think that's just so important that we look at those things in helping our young people have those stories from not just me, but volunteers that come in and they share their experience and their life and how it's impacted them so that they can be successful.
You know, it's just so valuable. I always use my world as an example, but I told you my son's an economic major, and so he's at college, so I put money in an account, and I looked at it, and I get his statements, et cetera, and I found out that he had gone of his own free will, because he's an adult, you know, he's over 18,
right.
And he had basically turned the account that I put money into as a clearing account, and then would move that money into another account. And I thought, well, that little slick, blah, 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 blah. Turns out he had saved all kinds of money. He had put that money back that I was giving him that I thought he was just spending on typical things college students spend it on, and I'm sure he is to some extent. But there was a piece of it that he already had the wherewithal to see that he wanted to have a nest egg without me ever preaching it to him, because I would be I would need junior achievement.
Right.
Okay.
That's such a great story, too, because, I mean, if there's a lesson I want, like, students to learn, it's we always talk about investment, like, rate of return and investment rate, but it's also, it's the savings rate. How much are you saving? If you're not saving, then your rate of return on investments is, it's not going to catch up compared to saving and constantly dollar cost averaging or adding into your investment account. So I'm proud of your
It son. Actually made me feel better about giving him money. I don't need to be giving him this much if he's saving it. That was my first thought, you know, because he's just supposed to be a starving college student. Then I thought to myself, what a horrible lesson to teach him. You know what I mean? You want to save, you want to be prudent with your money. Well, I'm not going to give you as much. You know, you work with that. So I think that these lessons are absolutely crucial. They have been, obviously, forever, but now more than ever, because these kids are not going to have some of the same safety nets that the generations before them had.
Right.
So it's just going to be more important than ever. Let's give the URL one more time before we wrap up the show.
JATyler.org. And you can go to our website. We have an awesome website where it'll tell you a lot about junior achievement, more than you can imagine. Also, you can email me if you need some more information. John at JATyler.org is my email address, and my phone number is 903-747-7643. We're excited about our Hall of Fame event coming up, where we're honoring John Soul's Foods on the 18th of April, so right around the corner at Willowbrook Country Club at 6:30 p.m. So we hope that more people will come out. It's going to be a huge event. If people want to come, they're going to have to get on the list now, because we will have a full house. We're going to be sold out.
Very good. John McDougald, Melissa Shanhouse, thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the show. And I hope you guys have fantastic luck going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.